guys, welcome to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. What a show we had for you today. We have the RERA calculator updates and how it will affect tenants. We also spoke about the most expensive hotel coming to Dubai. It might be about 12,000 dirham a night, we kid you not. And we had the founder of Giving Family.
And so if you are not subscribed to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts from. Enjoy the show. Because they just wanted to, I would say, they have been aware of what the TikTok conspiracy theories are. And Gen Z is not to be
Ramadan Kareem, welcome to the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show, a grand show takeover to highlight the incredible itinerary experiences you can explore that reflect Abu Dhabi's welcoming Emirati hospitality and unique atmosphere throughout the holy month. You can see it here, but also to learn more, visit visitabudhabi.ae. Our top stories for today are
UAE and Egypt airdrop more aid over Gaza.
We're talking about the RERA calculator update and how it will affect you as tenants.
As well, free 2-hour parking announced for Ramadan in Dubai.
Another hotel has been announced and it might just be the most expensive one yet.
And then we have the founder of Giving Family discussing giving Palestine and Dubai blinks.
What a show for you. Good morning to everyone tuning in on all of the platforms. We truly appreciate you. Yes. It is day 158 since the genocide began in Gaza, according to the Palestinian Ministry of Health in the Gaza Strip. The death toll has now risen to 31,112, while 72,760 have been injured and more than 1.9 million people have been displaced from their homes.
As well, Dubai Iftar time today is 6:29 p.m. You can find up-to-date prayer times on Love in Dubai website.
Good morning to everyone on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Twitter, except for those people on TikTok who are deep diving into Kate Middleton's health. I can't say I agree with this.
Well, of course, you know, I was telling you, Casey, the Generation Z are not to be messed with. And I don't mean my generation, like 1998, 1999. I mean 2000s and above. They pick up on everything. Now, we know how, it's like they picked up on how Kate has disappeared for a while. And after that, of course, the palace has noticed, you know, the conspiracy theories.
I don't know if they're aware of the Gen Z conspiracy theories.
They are. I promise you
they are. I think they're aware of the public perception and they have a strategy to deal with it.
They do. But again, like who picked up on it mainly are Gen Z. Because it's all over TikTok, like, oh, you know, Kate has disappeared because she is having plastic surgery.
Shan't allow these rumor mills to be no way. That's so unfair. Like, how could someone even just, like, who cares, first of all? Mm-hmm. Like, so what if she is? So what if she's, as long as, you know, she's well, who cares if she's doing anything she wants to do? It's not our business.
It's not our business, but I'm telling you, like, Gen Z, like, till this day, if, let's say, they feel like they are entitled to everyone's life. If, let's say, like, a celebrity. And for example, I'm going to give you a tiny example. And it's not related to Kate Middleton, but, for example, Justin Bieber and Selena Gomez, you know, like, they dated back in the day, they broke up. It's fine. It's over.
We move on.
Till this day, I would scroll over TikTok and see like, oh yeah, Justin still is in love with Selena.
He's no not. Way. What is that?
Till this day. And that is why I'm telling you, you know what I mean? Like, they just like think like they are entitled and they just like know.
Interesting. Do we have any Gen Zs watching the show and why do you think that is? We're kind of deep diving into what's happened with Kate Middleton. So the family released a beautiful Mother's Day photo, Kate surrounded by her three kids. And then Gen Z plus a lot of others recognize that there's some Photoshop had been done. And unexpectedly, the photo was pulled. It was killed by media outlets because Reuters, AP, they're like, actually, we recognize also there has been some doctoring Photoshop. Done to this photo. We're pulling it. And then out of nowhere, very unexpectedly, Prince William and Kate took the fall for this, saying they're amateur photographers and they did the Photoshopping.
So I'll tell you my theory. Technically, what happened is the palace has been aware. And this is not my theory. This is, by the way, it's all over TikTok. They have been aware of what everyone all over the social media has been, you know, recognizing on Kate's disappearance and the conspiracy theories, whether it's this, whether it's that. And then they issued this picture. But I don't think they realized that Gen Z or TikTok or the social media would recognize that it's actually Photoshopped. Right. And when they realized that, oh my God, actually people did pick up on it because it honestly looks realistic. It doesn't look really Photoshopped unless you actually dive deep. But people are so, I would say, how do you guys find the time to just like zoom in? I think you've seen on TikTok, like I just showed you how like people are like, oh, like see you guys, like see this. They zoom in and they have like a circle, like this is Photoshop.
Yeah, it's not just TikTok though. Yeah. It's the whole population. But I think it's not unusual for people to be able to recognize a Photoshop photo now.
That is true.
When there's like squiggly lines and things. It started with the Kardashians back in the day. Everyone was like, why is that door out of place? But my concern is why is everyone so concerned? Like, poor Kate. Like, whatever she's going through, doesn't matter what it is.
That's true.
Like, the fact that the media have so much attention, the fact that they felt like they or their people, PR, I'm not sure who, felt like they needed to doctor this photo to make her and the family look in a certain way is so sad. And like, it at the end of this, you just have a family who have so much attention and so much pressure on them. And they have TikTok, they have the UK media, which is not an easy place to be at the center of attention. And I just really feel for them.
The thing is, again, we live in a very fast generation. You know, I mean, this generation, it's whether you are Gen Z, whether you are a millennial, there is a saying that you need to live according, you need to move fast with it. You know, I just can't be like, oh yeah, you know what, I don't want to be as fast as this generation, I'm just going to be in my head, you know what I mean? And that's the thing, like, we need to understand that we live in a very fast generation. And because of that, people do actually pick up on it. And of course, as well, they feel very entitled because they are famous people. And we often have, I think we've talked about this before, is that as humans, we tend to forget that people of public figures like Kate, like other celebrities as well, that they are human as well.
Well, so, I think we should be very thankful of where we live because you don't see the media lens.
Yeah, we don't see that happens here.
Yeah, we don't see the media lens dive deep into people's personal lives. Like, if you're famous, you're famous for a purpose. That could be discussed on an open forum, but private life is private life. And I think that's amazing. Yeah. Even despite the fact that we've got a big influencer scene here, the only things that are discussed on a public platform, i.e. here at Love in Dubai, is the stuff that they share.
Yeah.
You never have, paparazzi isn't allowed. You'll never have a media going to location to find out more information about a person unless it's in a press conference, something like that. So you don't have that same level of intense scrutiny. And thank God for it, because it's not okay to, we have seen the devastating effects that this type of pressure can have on people.
That is true.
Particularly in the UK. Horrifically sad stories. People have taken their lives. Awful.
100%.
So we're so lucky to have that protection here. And I wish that we could pay a little bit more respect to people. And 100%. I know, coming from someone sitting in a media seat, that that sounds quite rich.
Yeah.
But I think that we're lucky to have those laws here.
Yeah, no, 100%, by the way. And this is, again, like you just said, it, it's because of the law. If there has not been such a law that is implemented in the UAE, I think it would be like that and even worse. Which is why we often see a lot of celebrities and public figures do actually come to the UAE just to, like, they live here or they come here for a vacation because they are aware of the fact that, you know what, there is no paparazzi here. But it is understandable of, like, why the media in, let's say, like the UK or other countries is very harsh. Because they're such public figures, and of course, they're not just any other regular celebrities. They're not a singer. They are the royal family. Mm-hmm. And every, I would say, aspect of their life that is documented does matter to the public and to their, you know, their citizens, the residents, and the country. And by the way, everyone as well, even in the UAE, because we were under the protectorate of, you know, the British protectorate, which is, I think it's a very, I would say, odd topic because we were under the British protectorate, but we are still independent in a way where, like, we do not practice, we are not allowed to have paparazzi. We actually do have rights. We need to be, if someone takes a picture of you, you can just, like, report them to the police and the police will be standing with you. So that's the thing. But as well, coming back to Kate and everything, I think, honestly, the fact that they deleted the picture of social media raised more questions.
Well, they acknowledged what they did, which was photoshopping. We just don't know if it really was them. Like, can you actually imagine them sitting there photoshopping? I don't know. 8:41, this leads us into our top story of the day.
Yes. So UAE and Egypt airdrop more aid over Gaza. The UAE has airdropped its 8th batch of humanitarian aid in Gaza as part of its joint operation with Egypt, as 42 tons of essential provisions, including food and medical supplies, have been airdropped.
The two countries have now dropped a total of 353 tons of supplies to Gaza since the launch of the Birds of Goodness operation earlier this month, as the aid operation is part of the UAE's Gallant Knight 3 initiative. All of these updates come via WAM, which is the Emirates news agency. So if you'd like more information on that, you can check it there. We'll jump into our next story. Updates on the RERA calculator. Are you aware of them? This happened on March 1st, and if you're a tenant, if you're a landlord, you should be. So with news that the Dubai property market goes from strength to strength, a RERA calculator update is probably not what tenants want to hear, Will it affect you? That's the question we're asking today.
Well, the Real Estate Regulatory Authority Index for Dubai has been updated on March 1st, as Casey has mentioned. This means pricing could fluctuate and people living in their homes for more than 2 years could see a significant rise in rent.
This basically means your renewals will become more in line with what's on today's market. According to the Khaleej Times, it means also it will impact places that have seen a greater increase in rent in the last couple of years. For example, popular places like Marina and popular villa spots like Jumeirah Golf Estate, Springs, things like that.
As well, people on renewals who benefit from a RERA calculator in their favor could see a change in the near future. That is not good news.
No, so how I look at it is, if you look at the rent discrepancies, mm-hmm. it felt like the RERA calculator was always in the favor of the tenant because the max you could increase was like by 10%. Yeah. But with property prices going literally by 100% increase, the calculator was in the favor of the tenant. But there's such a massive discrepancy now when you look at Allsop, and Allsop, by the way, have this incredible checker, so you can see the difference in the renewals. So maybe mm-hmm. if someone's renewed, they could be on, for example, 60K.
Yeah.
New people are paying 140. Now, for landlords who have it very difficult to get the tenants out, they're kind of, you don't see a lot of movement in the market because mm-hmm. people are sitting on their renewals yeah. because why would they? This update could see a very different fluctuation. You might see people downsizing. You might see people moving mm-hmm. from bigger locations to smaller locations in the near future because this will impact tenants, especially those people who are on, I would say, maybe a strong COVID COVID buy-in, like the rents that they got on COVID may not be the same anymore. So take note.
I mean, this is not good news for me because I really want to, we're moving houses very soon. And I just like, we know we're thinking because like actually rent in UAE has been really expensive, you know, specifically looking for a 3-bedroom.
But if you're moving, it won't affect you because you wouldn't yeah. be getting in on a renewal.
Okay. So this is only for renewals.
This is the rental price market will stabilize and it's mainly going to affect people who, for example, if you rented during COVID. Okay. And let's say, for example, you're mm-hmm. in a place that's worth 100K, but during COVID, the rates were low and it was at 50,000.
Okay.
And because at that point, the RERA only allowed you to go up 10%, up 10%, it might have gotten you from 50 to 60, 70K, yeah. but you're still 30K under market value. Mm-hmm. But now with this, it looks like they're going to stabilize it across the board, more fair for landlords who, for example, I'll be honest with you, I'm a landlord, small, very humble, one-bed apartment. Yeah. But during COVID, the rents went way down.
That's true.
And I'm still barely making mortgage, like 4 years later. Probably because I'm not super smart. But for those years, people struggled to pay the mortgage on those low rates.
That is true.
Now that's on a very, I'm sure people are making a lot more than mortgage now. I'm sure they're very happy, like the smart ones. But it will mean that it's just going to be a more stable market.
Mm. Well, I honestly can't wait to see because the difference that because we are moving, right? I've told you how like yesterday we got stuck on the road for like 2 hours and a half. So
yesterday's traffic.
It was impeccable, you guys. It was not even believable.
Impeccable is a word.
Literally.
Yesterday's traffic, like, all my days.
No. You have no idea. I was stuck on the road for like 2 hours and a half.
What time of the day was this?
It was like, I left work at like 2 p.m., right? Mm. I didn't reach home until like 4-ish, 4 anything. And I was like,
interesting, because the hours have changed for most people.
Yeah.
And you would think that it might mean that there'd be a more balance across the road mm-hmm. because people are leaving at different times. For example,
yeah.
our office leaving at 2, 3,
yes.
4, and 5, depending on your day. So you would think that, but now it just... I don't know.
I mean, so to the RERA calculator, please do me justice.
But yeah, we can think that maybe please drive safe on the roads. Mm-hmm. I felt like I'm quite keenly aware on the first couple of days of Ramadan that there are statistically more accidents on the road.
Yeah.
I felt like I saw cars, I don't know if they were like, you know, weaving
this,
a bit or
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Or like stopping where they shouldn't have been stopping. Maybe it's just because I was hyper aware to it, but we can imagine that there was more accidents, which led to more traffic. Rather than more more people on the roads, it might have been some dints on the roads that just held you up a little bit longer.
100%. Maybe they were just hungry. Just like I am, I was starving.
Of course. course.
But jumping to our next story, a fee to our parking announced for Ramadan in Dubai. Now, Dubai's paid parking zones will follow a two-shift system, allowing residents to have 2 hours of free parking during Ramadan.
Great news! The Roads and Transport, the RTA Authority, they revealed that from Mondays to Saturdays, a two-shift system will be in place. During Ramadan, the updated parking timetable will consist of a morning shift from 8 to 6, followed by an evening shift from 8 until midnight.
So it's safe to say that the parking would be free from 6 to 8 p.m. during Ramadan, which is a very kind initiative, let me tell you.
Because this is when people are at most for, is it?
Iftar
and prayers. Mm-hmm. So having that free parking, it also just makes life that little bit easier.
100%, 100%. I mean, because people often do go, let's say for iftar at like families' houses, you know, that let's say not during the weekend when, you know, like it's like free parking. So if they are having iftar at such timings, they would be like, oh God, like, can you imagine like having iftar? It's like thinking, like, oh, I need to, I don't know,
figure out the parking, which sometimes is a bit difficult.
Literally, yeah. Which is annoying. It's like, I'm having my meal. I'm having my iftar meal. Let me just eat in peace. So that's actually a very good
amazing
kind of
initiative by the RTA to just make those allowances. We love how, that's something that we love about Dubai so much, that these changes can happen, you know, like the city can just move with the time. Someone can make a call and be like, this actually makes sense, so let's make it happen. So
yes. This
is one initiative that we love throughout the holy month that just makes life that little bit easier for people. We're going to jump into our next story. Dubai's most expensive hotel has been announced. We base this by rooms, judging on how much it already costs around the world. So either you are a fancy resort hotel person who recognizes this name. We are not those people. A man announces an Aman Dubai. So forget rooms. This is an all-new, all-suite hotel, and it's coming to Jumeirah Beach, and it will be spectacular. Aman Dubai will feature suites and the Aman residences. It will be a 2,000 square meter spa, restaurants, and an ultra exclusive private members club called the Aman Club.
As well, the coastal property is all about luxurious interiors with minimalism and Arabian influences. Aman integrates nature, art, and luxury, promising indulgence and sophistication in a prime beachfront location, you guys.
Casey. So we don't have a completion date just yet. They expect it will take 3 years. You can get information on the Aman website where they've announced it. It will be down right next to the Four Seasons Resort Dubai, so in that beautiful area that's got the most beautiful beach. So we looked at prices around the world to just get a tally of what it might expect you to stay here. So without further ado, by the way, Aman, when I went into it, they've got these most amazing yachting experiences and they've got destinations around the world. So peak time to stay in Aman Zoe, which is in Greece, I think, is 3,000 euro a night, which is 12,000 dirhams. Surely Burj Al Arab is more expensive than that.
I mean, to
Booking.com, as we're on the show.
I mean, Casey, to be honest with you, you never know. Maybe we can have the finances for that. Just never keep that aside.
No, I'll check it right now. Booking.com. I want to see the difference because it's being touted. It is more expensive. So the Burj Al Arab per night, and we've just done a quick search on Google. Sorry, it's two nights, is 8,000 dirhams.
Yeah.
But this, we're saying, for one night in this ultra exclusive hotel is 12,000 dirhams. This would be peak, and this is just a comparison to the European family of resorts. But that's quick math, four times the price of a night in the Burj Al Arab at the moment, which is crazy.
I mean, honestly, I'm looking forward for the opening. Maybe I will have the finances for it. And you never know. Maybe we will both have the finances for it and we can go there and just like have like a staycation.
I think. Yeah. Like when you look at this, so I opened up the hotel and you see the amazing options.
Yeah.
But you're thinking, you need a lot of money to be able to drop that on a night.
It's okay. Let's just manifest it. You know, if like we are pretending like we are rich, we're going to be rich. right? And then we're going to go there.
But if I was rich and I chose to spend all my money on a hotel, then I wouldn't be rich
anymore. I mean, it's not only... No, it's okay because it's not only going to be spending your money on the hotel. You are expending the money on the experience. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, I just can't imagine the spa, the just like fulfillment of everything, the food. Oh my goodness. You know, the service. You're just going to feel like it's okay. I would spoil myself.
I like when hotels are all inclusive because then you don't need to think about anything. Yeah. You go, it's like it's all set and you don't have to think about it. Anyway, in 3 years' time, this will no doubt be a jewel on the hotel scene in Dubai. So Aman Dubai is coming. Get excited. More exciting, it's 8:53, which means it's time for our next guest. We're going to be joined very shortly by Fadi, who is the founder of The Giving Family. We cannot wait for this chat. Thank you guys for waiting. Welcome back to the Love in Dubai show. Today we're joined by Fadi Musallat, founder of The Giving Family and a voice for Palestine. Today we're going to learn more about the incredible movement The Giving Family operate throughout the holy month of Ramadan, Dubai bling, and so much more. Welcome back to the show. Thank you so much for being here.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
We really appreciate your time, especially because we know you're very busy right now.
Oh my gosh, very busy. People don't understand how much time and effort it takes to do like a charity event like this, you know. Mm-hmm. It's long hours, very, especially with Ramadan, you know, waking up for Fajr prayer, first actually waking up for Suhoor, then Fajr prayer, and then like trying to get those power naps in between is very difficult because organizing something like this is not easy, and people just see the bright side of it, but they don't see the hard work that comes in, you know?
100%.
So yeah, thank you.
Well, first of all, I want to say Ramadan Kareem.
Ramadan Kareem.
And thank you for the amazing initiatives that you have been implementing, you know, like the humanitarian charities and so on. But before we get to that, I would like to ask you is that you were featured in Dubai Bling Season 1. Why were you not in Dubai Bling Season 2?
Oof.
Spill the tea.
Let's just keep it this way.
Yeah.
Thank God, like God works in mysterious ways. Yeah. You know, they always say it's your plan and God's plan. Alhamdulillah, thank God I wasn't in season two because of what's going on in Gaza. Me being that I'm Palestinian, it just doesn't look right for me to be on reality TV with what's going on in Palestine, you know. So that was just the plan, and it worked out in my benefit. So I'm thankful for that. Actually, yet last night, I invited a few of the cast members from season one yesterday. I'll share some pictures with you guys, but I took them out last night for Suhoor. So, and we were all joking about it, saying, "Oh, I think you need to come back." So we'll see.
Oh, I love that. We hope so, because obviously it didn't work out with LJ. So we wanted to ask if there is anyone else on the show that it might have worked out with.
Oh man, there could be a lot of surprises in the future. I can't leak things out, but maybe it's good for the Dubai Bling season 4, maybe.
Season 4. Maybe, oh, maybe. So you mentioned that you have taken them, you know, or invited them for Suhoor. What was the meal for Suhoor?
What was the meal?
Yeah.
So last night I invited them out to a good friend of mine's restaurant last night. It's called mm-hmm. Trove in Dubai Mall. Mm-hmm. I've seen you guys post them a lot.
Yeah.
It was just basically one of my cousins were here from California. They own Knafa Queens.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so I invited everyone it was supposed to be everyone for Knafa and Shisha, you know? And it ended up being like dinner and everything. So that bill was pretty
pricey.
Pretty pricey, yeah.
As we said at the beginning, it's the holy month of Ramadan, and we want to talk about what you guys do at The Giving Family. We had a chat about it last year on the show as well, but where did the idea come from? And first of all, just give everyone watching an idea of the operations that you guys have in place.
Yeah, so I started this initiative 8 years ago when I first moved here to Dubai. You know, I get a lot of the giving back from my grandfather, who's known in our village in Palestine, that he would always give to the community before he fed his kids, you know? And it just transitioned down to me. And like I said, I started it 8 years ago by basically just going there and feeding whatever I can, you know? And I wasn't doing it consistently. I was doing like maybe 100 people a day, and then I'll go back 3-4 days later, do another 100. It wasn't consistent every single day. And then every year I kept building up with more friends, and then COVID came, we stopped for a while. And then I started again 3 years ago, right after COVID. And we did like 750 meals the first day. And then we're like, let's keep doing it every single day. And then last year is when it went viral. And last year we ended up doing almost 300,000 meals in the month of Ramadan. And we did, we had over 4,000 volunteers. And it's just like, and for me, it's like, I try to, you know, explain to people, like giving back and feeding these labor workers is amazing. But for me, it's trying to build a community of good people. You know, a lot of people say they come to Dubai, you can't meet real people, you can't meet, make good friends. Well, you know what? If you come to the Giving Family labor camp distribution, you're going to meet amazing people, because everyone that comes out for the 2 hours that they come out for, they're not obligated to come there. You know what I mean? They come there because they want to come there. So obviously they have a good intention. And so I always tell people, listen, yes, we're giving back to the labor workers, but communicate with these people, become friends with these people, network with these people, and just let's just build a community of good people and give back to the community. And I always tell them, these people here are not as fortunate as us, so we need to thank them, they don't need to thank us, because the reason why we're in this city of Dubai and why this city is so beautiful is because of these people. They make us want to move here, you know, so we owe them everything. We appreciate them, and that's just the whole gathering of the Giving Family.
It's a beautiful initiative, honestly, because you recognize the hard work of the laborers that work and that created the beautiful Dubai. But I want to say something is that you are very, I would say, loud on the issue of Palestine. Yeah. And Casey and I have mentioned before how like important it is to actually talk about Palestine. And you have mentioned that if you are not speaking on Palestine, get out of my life.
Yeah, don't speak to me.
Yes. Yeah. Now, there is an issue. Now, I don't know if you've seen the TikTok. I've created a TikTok yesterday about how Ibrahim Al-Samadi has called you out in the Bastille Cafe of why your cousin has not spoken out about the Palestinian.
Yeah, actually, Ibrahim was with me last night.
Yeah. 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 So what would you say like about your cousin, DJ Khaled, not speaking out on the Palestinian matter? Because we have mentioned that, you know, like you can be, you can help the Palestinian people through, it can be as little as you speaking out about it and you even like you posting a story about it.
Yeah, I mean, for me personally, like, I've been told by the family, like, let's not keep bashing him, you know? Unfortunately, everyone has their own opinion, everyone has their own way, views of life, you know, and that's just the way he wants to take it, you know. I don't agree with it. I think, you know, times like this when we really need someone's voice and someone like him to speak up, he's not doing it, and we just have to move on, you know. And for me, I have to move on too, so I cut my ways, I cut my connection with him, and I'm just doing what I can do, because my mother lives there, and you know, I'm not gonna let someone ruin what I can do, you know. So I'm just gonna keep raising my voice, keep speaking out loud for the people that need us, and inshallah, you know, for brighter days.
How powerful do you think a voice is on social media speaking out?
Very powerful. I mean, think about it. What happened in 1948 that we hear about it, but we don't know about it, you know? Imagine if social media was back then, maybe we won't be having these problems now. Maybe that this whole solution would have been solved, you know? And the fact that, you know, the Palestinian flag is so powerful right now is because of social media, you know? And it's the way of life for the communication all around the world. And there's nothing better than it. And same thing with the Giving Family. We like to tell people not to post, you know, because we try to limit the posts on everyone, but we became this big because of social media, and we use that platform to expand and keep getting bigger and building a community of the good people.
It's really interesting that you say that you ask people not to post, because one comment we get a lot on Love in Dubai is when either we post about the giving movement, or the giving family, or we post about people doing good things. A lot of the comments that you guys sent through are, why are they sharing?
Yeah.
Why are they sharing this? What is your response to that?
You know, you're always going to get hate from people. There's the saying, misery loves company, is real, you know? If you do good or if you do bad, people are always going to bash you, no matter what. You know, like, I was in Qatar like a month ago with Mortez, you know? And he was telling me himself, like, you know, like, I'm here to spread the word, to speak on behalf of the people in Gaza. But he went to the Palestinian football match, and people seen him, they're like, oh, how dare you, like, leave Palestine to come here to go to a football match? He was, you know, trying on a suit for interviews, and people like, oh, why are you wearing a suit? So, like, you know, if you're going to live on people's opinions, you're never going to move forward, you know? For me, it's like, we keep using social media to build a community, build a people, community of good people, and we can't let the people that want to bash us on social media bring us down or hold us up.
Wow.
So speaking of humanitarian aid, you have been very loud on the humanitarian aid yourself for Gaza and for what has been happening in Palestine. And at the same time, you recognize that it has been an ongoing issue since 1948. Of course, now this has not been very, I would say, discussed all around the world until like recently, since October 7th. So would you say that you have had some haters? Or did you lose some clients the moment you had?
Oh, yeah. Okay. I lost a lot, yeah. And that's, you know, I'm not gonna like fake it when to keep friends that are really not my friends, you know what I mean? And I did lose a lot of friends, but it is what it is, you know? They seen the truth, they see the truth, and they have to live by it. I'm not gonna change for them, you know? I know I'm fighting for my people, and obviously they don't like it.
We did see the photos of these motels. I think a lot of people did. How did that come about? And what, you know, everyone discusses the mentality of the people of Palestine, the strength that they'll need. How was he when you met him?
Yeah, he was. He's. You know, he's going through a lot right now, and he's going to go through a lot probably for the rest of his life, you know. But he's being very strong for a 25-year-old to endure what he went through. It's very hard, and he's staying positive. He's going through therapy, and he's just trying to do what he came here to do, and, you know, raise awareness for Gaza, and inshallah he continues doing that.
So your donations are documented on Instagram. Do you do that to show people or to raise more awareness of like what's happening? Like your donations towards Gaza are all documented on Instagram. Do you do that to raise awareness or to show people like, hey, we are doing good, this is what the giving family is about?
No, it's mainly to raise awareness, you know, to show people like, if I can do it, you can do it, you know. There's no small like person, no big, like from the normal person to the biggest celebrity, everyone could do their part, you know. And it's definitely to raise awareness for, because they definitely need it, especially during times like this. Ramadan is very, very tough this year because of what's going on in Palestine. And you know, a lot of people are posting saying, don't post your food, don't post your, you know, your social outings and stuff like that, because what's going on, the starvation going on in Gaza right now. So, you know, it's a very sensitive month right now.
What you guys are doing is phenomenal. And what I really love what you said is that it's not just about the giving back, it's about building the community. But I have no doubt that since you went viral, the community is just growing and growing. Like, there's so many people watching right now who I'm sure, because everyone just wants to give back, like everyone feels this horrible sense of privilege right now. Yeah. So how do you manage all of the influxes, all of the calls? Like, do you have a team?
No, actually, you know, first of all, I want to give thanks to my two partners, Zara Rizvi and Sabrina. She was on the show last year. Unfortunately, I couldn't make it. But yeah, without them, none of this would be possible, because, man, what they do behind the scenes is incredible. So I have to give it to them. I'm the guy that's on the ground, roll up the sleeves and, you know, do the dirty work. But They do, you know, they book. So we have two different camps. We have camps that are private for corporates, mm-hmm. and we have a camp that's open to the public. So like every single day for 30 days, we have a corporate company booked for a private camp. When I mean like a private camp is like they'll bring their whole staff and they'll say, hey, we want to donate 5,000 meals. They'll bring their whole staff. We give them a private camp just for them and their staff, you know. So we usually do that first before we open up the camp for the public. So we do two a day. And we literally have a waiting list of like maybe 40 companies that want to be part of the initiative. And without them, none of this is possible. So yeah, it's a lot of hard work. Even yesterday was the first day of Ramadan and we did 9,700 meals on the first day.
Wow. Like, guys,
that's amazing.
Just, yeah. And just like a grassroots community starting with a WhatsApp, it's phenomenal.
It is. So I would like to ask you another question about Palestine. What is next? Like, you guys have donated a lot for Palestine. And of course, we all know that this is not going to stop here, not going to stop anytime soon. So what is like next? What do you think is next for that you can do to help Palestine and the Palestinian people and victims of Gaza?
I mean, all we can do right now mm-hmm. is like just a few things. It's prayer, number one, especially during Ramadan when the prayers and du'as are very, very like powerful. And number two is just keep spreading the word, keep spreading awareness and like educating people. You know, a lot of people don't know what's going on, especially like the Western world. Yes. Me coming from America, I have to educate some of my friends because they don't understand. And because of social media, people are understanding now. You know what I mean? You could send them like different articles or different people on Instagram that are posting, you know, and it educates them. So I would say awareness and education most important right now, because that's everything that we need.
And what about, just before we get to the end of our interview, what about what's next for the Giving Family? How do you harness the power of people who are so behind what you're doing?
Yeah, it's incredible. Even yesterday, like I saw a lot of familiar faces, and I saw a lot of new faces, you know, and like, they come up to me and say, thank you so much. This is amazing. Like, we, you know, we've been looking to do something like this. And so for all the people that say, oh, they shouldn't be documenting this, these people that come up to me and say, thank you. There's so many people in this city that want to do charity work. They just don't know who to do it through. Mm-hmm. And thank God, like, they trust me. You know, I've been around for a long time. They can rely on me. They can trust on me. And people come up to me and say, thank you so much. Like, you know, without you guys, I don't know where I would go do charity, and I'd love to do it. And we highly recommend for families to come and bring out their kids, you know, because, you know, we want to show the next generation what real life is all about and what giving is all about.
So you have discussed how, like, you know, like, back in America, people don't really understand it. Have you educated someone from the Western world, or like, let's say your Western friends, and they have kind of like changed their perspective on what actually happened in Palestine?
Oh yeah, a lot have. And it goes back to the power of social media, to be honest with you, because like every time I see something that's very educational, I'll forward it to them. You know what I mean? I'll say, hey, take a look at this, read this, you know what I mean? Because the media there doesn't show them what they want to see, you know? So I always like forward messages to all my like American friends and stuff like that to let them know, like, this is what it really is, you know what I mean? Not what you're seeing, you know? So yeah, I try to do as much as I can, and inshallah we keep doing it.
Speaking of keep doing it, we've come to the end of our interview, unfortunately. We have a lot of people watching, and I'm sure they want to help, they want to reach you. Mm-hmm. How can they do so?
You can reach us on The Giving Family. I know a lot of people mistaken us for The Giving Movement. I was inspired by Dominic and The Giving Movement. That's where we got the name from, The Giving Family. But you can follow us on The Giving Family. There's a link in our bio that goes directly to Beit al-Khair, which is the government charity. You can donate there for the meals, or you can come directly to the camp and donate at the camp. We pay the suppliers on the spot. But yes, follow us on The Giving Family. We post every single day on our story, the location, the time, and the amount of meals that we're distributing every single day.
Check them out on Instagram, guys. Genuine legends for what they do.
Thank you.
We appreciate it so much. And you're so right. Everyone wants to help. They don't know how. And you're giving them that platform. So thank you so much.
And one last thing. You know, in life, they say it's not how much money you make, but the legacy you leave behind. So it's all about what, when you leave this place, when you leave this world, what did you leave behind? You know what I mean? So for us, we want to make this worldwide. Inshallah, when we leave, our kids will take over the Giving Family.
Beautiful.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for your time this morning, guys. That brings us to the end of the Love and Experience Abu Dhabi show. We're back with you tomorrow morning, same time, same place. Goodbye from me.
Goodbye from me.
Thank you.